Good morning. Yes, another day. You know, we only give them one day at a time. And sufficient thereof for the day of evil. And that would be living in this planet under Satan's kingdom, prince of power of the air, spirit that works in the sons of disobedience. And yet we've been given the opportunity to represent the Lord in this condition as an ambassador. Can never forget that. Our home is where? In the third heaven. And we're sent down here to represent God, his son, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the head of the church, the body, with a message to a lost and dying world. That's our job. When our job's done, you die and you go to heaven. Amen? Can't lose sight of that. And what I wanted to talk about this morning is we were finishing up looking at some of these Christian life issues. Remember back in the day, we started out with the milk of the word, being born again of incorruptible seed by the word of God, by the Spirit of God, incorruptible seed. And Peter said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk that you may grow by it. And we're looking at some of identification, truth associated with that. Christ died for me to the penalty of sin. I died with him so I can walk in newness of life. I was buried with him, raised up with him, seated with him in the heavenlies. We all are in this age. And sent back down as ambassadors. You're never an ambassador to your home country. You have to go to a foreign country. And guess what? We were sent to a foreign country, which this place is. And Jesus mentioned to his disciples, I'm going back home. I'm leaving. And just so you know, here's the time you're going to have down there. They're going to hate you, despise you, and persecute you, and want to kill you because of your association with me. So sometimes that causes us to like not want to talk too much about Jesus, because we know all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So how's the Lord get us ready for such a task where we can continue and endure in that until he takes us home? And I wanted to talk about endurance. That would have been the final phase. Remember that chart we had up occasionally? You don't need to put it up. At the end, we had soldiers of the cross. Started out as a baby, drinking milk, the sincere milk, pure milk of the word. And then you see you start to grow, because if you're taking in the word of God, we talked about birth truth, all that God freely gave to us. There it is. Established us in this truth. We grow spiritually. That's the promise of Scripture. And as you grow, you get stronger. And you can see that even in the natural realm. You continue to grow and grow. And finally, you end up like, as Paul did at the end of his life, as an old man. We'll look at three old men. Not Ken. We're not so much. But he's here. Did good, all right? He's even smiling. But endurance means usually you have to hang around for a while to show your endurance. Will we endure? There's a reward specifically for those who endure hardship and difficulties. We'll sometime later talk about that. But there's three people, this all that we're going through, from birth truth to identification truth, growth truth, and we end up with maturity. We talk about Christ being, as I remember, in birth truth, he's my Savior. I trusted Christ as my Savior. He offered me forgiveness of sin, justification, and eternal life. If I put my faith in him, he died for me. If I do that, he said, you have a righteous standing before God, and you receive the free gift of eternal life. Not a bad start. It's nice to be born into that family. And he was my Savior. I did not have to accept him anything other than Savior, free gift of eternal life, period. No commitments, vows to improve. to serve him or any of that was required for justification. It's free. If we mess that up, we're messed up with our message. But then that leads us to the place where we had, remember, Christ died for me and then I died with him. So Christ, not only a savior of my sin, he's the source of my new life. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And Christ, who is our life, when he appears, will also appear with him in glory. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So that's kind of like the Christian life in a nutshell. It's his life in me. My life was thrown into the grave. I've been crucified with Christ. Romans 6 said you died with him. Dead people don't sin. They don't do anything else either. We mentioned that. You just lie in the grave until someone raises you up. And that happened on the third day with him in our identification with Christ. I need a new life. Justification is not enough. It frees me from the penalty of sin and gives me an entrance, Romans 5, 1 and 2, right into the grace of God. So it can be poured out on me. You know, God loves sinners. He had to work hard to make sinners in a situation where they can have fellowship with him. They had to be declared righteous through his work on our behalf. That's the core of the gospel. And he's my life, as we call it, the cross life, some authors do. I died with Christ. And finally, maturity, when that finally becomes the fruit of growth, he is my Lord. He's the Lord of my life. He doesn't have to be the Lord of my life to be the Savior. I trust him as the one who died on the cross. He already is Lord of everything anyway. We don't make him anything. He already is what he is. We submit to something, but he already is what he is. God can't change. He is what he is. So at birth truth, he's my Savior. Identification truth, he's my life. And maturity and growth truth, he is my Lord. What's that mean? Oh, it has to do with endurance. So I'm going to look at three characters. We've got a few minutes. And we were looking at endurance of faith. Remember we talked about the beginning, looking at Joshua going into Canaan. And he was doing well. Blowing the horns, the walls of the city fell down. Then the whole Ai incident, you remember that? That didn't go over too good. Well, we'll send so many men. 36 good men died because of that. Here we find Joshua lying on the ground, throwing ashes and dust in the air and sackcloth. And the Lord said, get up. I like that. Get up. What are you doing lying on the ground? And here's what you need to do. And, you know, he mentioned, first of all, there's sin in the camp. Achan, remember that whole scenario? If you had consulted with me first, I would have let you know you got a problem here. And by the way, why are you sending, how do you determine how many people to send against Ai? Who made you now charge of my army in chapter 5? Remember when I showed up at this? Yeah, you are the Lord of the, yes, the Lord of hosts, my bad. So I want you to get up. And here's what you're going to do. First, take care of the sin problem. Got rid of the problem with Achan so the nation can be back into fellowship with God so that he can give them the strength to overcome their enemies. Because if I'm out of fellowship with God, I don't have that strength. And there's nothing I can do to get back into fellowship with God except to admit that I have sinned. Achan said, I've sinned. So what did Joshua do to him and his family? And everything got stoned and burned up. It was removed. The other way sin is removed through confession. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and what? Cleanse us from a little bit of unrighteousness. Cleans us up. We're back in fellowship with God, which means we continue our walk. And our walk means you continue to endure hardness as a good soldier. So I can see why no one wants to walk with God. I don't have to walk with God to be justified, but I do to be sanctified. Walk in the Spirit. Why do I got to walk in the Spirit? Because if you're walking in the flesh, you cannot overcome the trials and temptations and difficulties of life. And symptoms of that is depression, discouragement, disillusionment, weariness, frustration, anger, bitterness. How come Johnny doesn't come to church anymore? Just go visit him. Johnny, what's going on? I got problems. What are they? Well, they're not me. I'm a victim. No, you're not a victim of anything. You're a victim of your own choice. These are choices you made. Now, God's not asking us to control circumstances that surround us, but how I respond to them, he's saying, I want you to respond this way to circumstances in your life, which proves how weak we are. So you know the back door, I want to say, the back door to the victorious Christian life is weakness and failure. Because we think we're hot shots. We say we don't want to think that, and I'm convinced we don't. I don't, but it sneaks up on you because your heart is deceitful above all things and incurably wicked. You can't know it. Our pride blinds us to our own faults and failures. And since it blinds us, we don't know and we can't see what's going on. And you would see when Jesus said, you're blind people being led by blind leaders of the blind, all falling into blessing, a ditch. So it's like you're falling into a ditch on a hike and you're not going to be real encouraged. Ooh, I fell into a ditch and I can't get out. Man, I'm so happy I took this hike today. I should have got off this path a long time ago. Our life is one failure after another that can happen unless we're walking in the Spirit. So I'm going to look at some of these guys. We'll look at three of them. Joshua, hopefully. Joshua, Caleb, and Paul. So I want to read Joshua chapter 23:1. We're not going to spend a lot of time on each one. Excuse me. Joshua 23:1 said this, after a long time had passed, and the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies round them, Joshua, by then old and well advanced in years, finally was 110 years old. Anybody that old yet? I know a few creeping up on that. 110 years old. Which, when he left Egypt, he was around 40 years old. So that means it had been like, 70 years of ministry? Look at the first 40 years of the wilderness with that crew. Well, you had Caleb. See, that's why God sent everybody out two by two. You had better have someone who's got your back that's walking with the Lord. You need that desperately to encourage one another and exhort one another. And that's why I even said the church, some have abandoned the church. He's talking to the Christians, Hebrews. They stopped assembling themselves together as the manner of such. He goes, stop that. Don't do that. Assemble yourselves together and exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest you be overcome by the deceitfulness. The what? Deceitfulness of sin. So church isn't like just a luxury. It's a necessity that soldiers have to get together and encourage one another, because right outside these doors is the battlefield. And guess where the other one's at? Right in here. We're surrounded by the enemy. So to exhort one another daily while it's called today, don't put it off. Look at poor Joshua, 110 years old, well advanced in years. He summoned all of Israel, their elders, leaders, judges, and officials, and said to them, I am old. All right. And well advanced in years. Yeah, we noticed that. We're looking at you, Joshua. You don't look like a spring chicken. You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done all these nations for your done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. Remember when he first asked the Lord and God showed up, he said, are you for us or against us? He goes, neither, I'm running the show. Let's paraphrase. And he learned that over time with some major failures you saw right at the beginning with AI. And we saw what happened, AI and the Achan thing. And then, remember the Gibeonites? They deceived them. And Joshua did not seek the counsel of the Lord before he made his decision and made a compact with them, a covenant, and they could not destroy the Gibeonites. So God, behind the scenes, who's sovereign through providence and circumstances, said, I'm going to let the Gibeonites stay there and use them to test your faith to see if you'll serve me or not. Has nothing to do with heaven or hell. Had nothing to do with them being an Israelite. I want to see if you're going to honor your commitment to me to serve me because you called me Lord. Okay? That's what I want to see. So the way I'm going to test you is to bring you in circumstances that are very difficult. How about the wilderness? And you remember later when he said, how about Canaan? He goes, I'm going to test you in difficult circumstances, giving you manna, water from the rock, and the whole thing. You have to wear the same shoes for 40 years, sorry. But they're high quality because they didn't wear out. And then he said, when I get you into Canaan, once you get settled, I'm going to test you with all the blessings I pour out upon you. And you know what's going to happen when I do that? You're going to forget about me. It said you accomplished all this through your own power. So in the hard times, you'll grumble, complain, and bellyache to me. So if I do bless you, you'll forget about me. And David sang in one of his psalms, he said, I want to be in the middle. I don't want too much blessing, and I don't want too much hard times. I don't want to be cursing you, and I don't want to forget about you. This is because this shows how much we know about how to engineer our life. Zero. Always put a zero there. We don't know. Our heart's deceitful. God's Spirit reveals what's there through His Word. So watch what happens here. I just want to read a note or two. 110 years old. On endurance. Endurance is needed in this war, or in race. And this can only be imparted as the goal is kept in view. Why am I serving the Lord? I'm not serving the Lord because if I don't serve Him, I won't go to heaven when I die. I'm going to heaven whether I serve Him or not. That's not contingent on justification. Serve me and you'll be justified. He said, believe the gospel and you're justified. If I want to be an idiot and just serve myself, have you ever heard of the word called chastening and scourging? A father, if he's my father, my heavenly Father, and He loves me, guess what? He's going to watch out for me. And if I start going down a path that He's not pleased with, He will get in my face. So we create a whole system out there in our culture that makes me a victim of someone else's influence in my life. It's not my fault I make bad decisions. Whew. And people buy that argument. Scripture seems to indicate it is... It is our fault, but we have an advocate with the Father. We'll be accused by ourselves or even by the enemy. You cannot accuse my child of any sins that will bring him to judgment. I took care of all of it. Period. This has nothing to do with heaven or hell. It has to do with fellowship between Father and Son. Relationship's already there, born again to the family of God. You've got to be careful the words we even use. Let me read some more on endurance. We have often known what it was like to be roused up by a stirring word, but incentives of this kind do not give power for endurance. They are like the crack of a whip, which makes the old horse mend his pace for a few yards. I can't remember who this guy is I quoted, but for a few yards, but he is soon back at his old jog trot. He doesn't want to run. Unless... Turn the tired horse's head toward home. Boom. Takes off. I don't know if anybody ever ran a horse. You know what I'm talking about. Right? That's what happens. As soon as you turn back home, man, this thing could run fast. I wish he would have gone the other way that fast. See how he will go. We want more of the attraction of home. More of the attraction of that blessed person who is the center of all thoughts of God and of the place where He is. This will give endurance in the race, and nothing else will, or the battle. So Colossians, he said that. Seek those things which are above. Set your affections on things above and not on this earth. Why? Because you have died. Your life is hidden with Christ in God, and when Christ, who is our life, appears, then shall we also appear with Him in glory. Seek those things which are above. Set your affection on things above. He's talking, how do I know what's above? Excuse me. This. Set your affections on Christ. The only way I can know Him, The Spirit takes the Word, which is alive, and He's the one that teaches us. He's called the teacher. When Jesus told the disciples, I'm going to send you another teacher, a helper. Now He'll be with you. He'll be in you. Take a mind, reveal it to you, and show you things to come. That's what He's going to do. Without the Word of God, we just have to, we make up stories that we think somehow indicate who God is and what He's doing. Maybe by accident you'll run across a story here and there that actually is from the Word of God or similar to it. But this is the book that God gave us to get to know Him in a way we could never know Him otherwise. I can reflect His glory. We can do that for each other. We're told to. But it comes from here. Excuse me. It comes from here. Endurance. So set your affection on things above. I find just for myself, when I do that, whatever's down here that's bothering me seems to fade away. I'm not saying problems disappear, but they're much more manageable. Because someone who's standing right beside you, the Lord is right there encouraging you that whatever the problem is, He can fix it one way or another. He may not tell us all the details, but ultimately, you know what fixes the problem? When you lay your head down the last time on this life, you're in the presence of the Lord. That's why Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. That's why he said that. And the one thing we fear the most of mankind does, is no one wants to die. They want to live forever. Well, guess who will live forever? In a body that's suited for living forever. Because this one we're in right now, this doesn't, and it won't. It's impossible. He is Savior. He's my life. He's my Lord. Joshua, I'll leave him off for now. He's 110 years old. Not much you can do with him. Look at Caleb earlier on. Remember, those were the two guys that when the spies were sent out, they went out, the 12 of them, they came back, and what did they say? You know what? It's a good land. They brought back some of that good land food. Wasn't ultra-processed. No microplastics. They brought back real food. Here it was. And they all 12 said, you know what? These guys are like giants and we're like grasshoppers in their presence. And that was true. Joshua said it. Caleb, they all said it. But 10 of the spies were like, you know, biting off their fingernails. Like, there's no way in the world. There's no way we're going to be able to take this land. They were very depressed and discouraged. But Joshua and Caleb said, it is true, they're giants and we're grasshoppers, but our God is the God of the grasshopper, which is bigger than the giant. Let's go take the land. Their eyes were focused on the Lord and His ability to give them victory over their enemies. You'd think they would have known something about that at this point. But you know what that means? You can have a victory and 10 minutes later you're discouraged and defeated. A lot of times it's because we think that the victory came as a result of our own initiative and strength. That's why we're discouraged. How about if something in your life you don't like and hate, you rejoice because God put it there? In everything, give what? This is the will of God concerning you. All things, give thanks. Lord, I'm not going to give thanks for things I don't like. All right, Butch, listen. I'm not asking you to like it or pretend it feels good or you're happy, happy, happy because you're going through hardships. I'm not asking you to feel a certain way. I'm asking you to walk by faith, not by sight. Walk by faith, not by feelings. If you do that, you'll find my joy replacing your discouragement because it's from the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, what? Joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Stop just looking at your circumstances apart from me. Don't be like Joshua with Ai or the Gibeonites. That's how we are. That's our natural tendency. That's what tempts us 24/7 is to live life apart from God because I don't see God anywhere. Well, I shouldn't say that. I see His handiwork. Show us a sign. Remember how many times you hear that from the Jew? An evil and corrupt generation looks for a sign, he said. But no sign will be given to this generation except the sign of Jonah. As he was in the belly of the whale 3 days and nights, so the Son of Man will be in the earth. And guess what? He showed up on the third day. Set your affection on things above. This is for all of us, because here's what gives us endurance. Caleb is a better example. Caleb, by the way, notice what he says here in Joshua 14:9-12. 14:9-12. So here's the old man, Joshua. He's still in the land. He endured hardness as a good soldier. Was he perfect, like I think Jody was saying earlier? No. David, for example, he's another guy. Man after God's own heart. Then Uriah, Bathsheba, how's that work? So you can even be a man or a woman after God's own heart with your moral frailties and weaknesses. Because everybody in this room has them. The question is, are we walking in them or not? Walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of flesh. Doesn't say you won't have them. Watch this. Caleb, I'll read this. Caleb here was a man who was 85 years old. He said this. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden will be an inheritance to you and your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully. The land he wanted was primo land, okay, as we'll see. And so here's what Caleb is saying. He says, now behold, the Lord has let me live just as he spoke these 45 years, added to the 40. From the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, when Israel walked in the wilderness, and now behold, I am 85 years old today. It's his birthday. I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. Is he working out? I want to know his exercise routine. Get that energy back. No, because Caleb, we go back to when they crossed into the spies with the other 10 and Joshua, his strength only increased from that day on. If you're walking in the Spirit, you get stronger in the Spirit, weaker in yourself. So the weaker you are, the stronger you are. That's why the Lord says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up in due time or exalt you in due time. And we mentioned this before. The only thing I have to do to humble myself is to acknowledge the truth. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. All I got to do is look in the mirror. We're weak. You realize the day you were born, you started to die. That's called weakness. You all right? Your bird slammed this. That's the truth. And it's good always to read through Ecclesiastes a couple times to see what it's like living under the sun, apart from God, would be the picture he's trying to communicate. What it's like living under the sun, it's vanity of vanities, vexation of spirit, chasing after the wind, hopeless, useless, never being fulfilled, because you have in your heart eternity planted there by the Lord. There's nothing here this world has to offer that can satisfy the depths of our heart. Any human being on the planet, according to Scripture, nothing. So man's searching like a wild man to find himself. I like that one. Find yourself. Yeah, sure. You realize you've never really seen yourself, what you really are? Yeah. I mean, even in, you'd have to pluck your eyes out, turn them around, and let them look at you. Because the only thing you've ever seen of yourself is an image. That's it. I remember thinking about that one day. That could be cool to try to do that. What do you see? Reverse image of what I see in the mirror. Oh, okay. Put them back in. But in the spiritual realm, we've never seen ourselves as we truly are, because we are blind. Well, I'm not blind. Okay, then God's a liar. Well, God's not a liar. Then you're blind. Which is it? But he said, I'll show you who you are and what you are if you let me do it by getting in the book. And you'll see why we have these problems. So he's followed the Lord, my God, fully. And look what happened. Because I want, behold, I'm 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as I was the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now. For war and for going out and coming in. For war. Soldier of the cross. Now then, give me this whole country about which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day that Anakim, the giants, were there with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken. They were still there. Caleb says, you know what? I'll go up there and take them.
Really?
Yeah, the Lord and I will. Do you realize we're co-laborers together with the Lord? He doesn't work apart from us. He works in us and through us. So we're his mouthpiece. We're his hands. We're his feet. He works in it. Could he work apart from us? Of course. And there's a lot of stuff he does that we don't even know what's going on. You realize every circumstance that comes in our life is preordained by God. It couldn't happen unless it passes across his desk. There's no accidents, no and all that. It's like, okay, this thing happened. Usually saying you're stupid is a good way to start the conversation. Well, but there's even good things you didn't expect, bad things you didn't expect. And God's testing us with the good and with the bad 24/7. Job complained about it until the end of his life. What is it about man? You keep testing us over and over and over again. Because I'm purifying gold. And I want this gold as fine as I could possibly make it. So that when your faith is tested with fire, like Peter said, to be found on the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, even though it's tested by fire, God's not playing some game. I started out with my little children. Here they're growing up. And then we are adult soldiers. I don't know if I can handle this anymore. I'm being triggered by, sir. Trigger? I thought he was a horse that was on a TV show. Who was Trigger? Who was it? Can you imagine? Jesus standing before the Father. I don't know. You're asking an awful lot from me, but you're God in the flesh. I know I'm deity, but yeah, really? This is us. We came into this stuff because we are weak. But Paul said three times, if you remember, he prayed that this thorn in the flesh, that God, who gave it to him? God. Why would you do that to me? Excuse me? Did you ask me why? Yes, Lord, I did. You're asking me why? Who are you to ask me why I do what I do? I'm the God of the universe. Since when do I have to answer your questions concerning why I do what I do? And he does answer them anyway. We're like little kids. We don't, we're idiots. But he'll answer them sometimes, not all the time. Could Lord, would you remove this thorn from my flesh? No. All right, he said no. Kids do this, don't they? Daddy, daddy, that no. Would you remove this thorn from my flesh? I said no. Lord, would you remove this thorn from my flesh? Like, what part of no aren't you understanding? So I think the third time Paul realized, okay, 10 years can go by. Well, will you please remove the thorn from my flesh? And he has like a little AI just like, no, you don't even God's life. Where'd God go? It's the same thing over and over. So Paul said, you know what? If that's the case, then I'll glory in my weaknesses and infirmities, because when I'm weak, then I am in the Lord, in the power of his might. We're like little kids that complain and bellyache to God. One thing's our way, we're going to get mad and stomp our feet and go into the corner with a mood and sit there and mope and carry on like a little baby. And God's like, that's not going to take you anywhere. You're not getting anywhere with that. It does show you, though, what you're like. We're all like that. None of it, I'm like that. Yesterday, the water, when you were talking about the water heater, I laughed because yesterday I got up, I went to the bathroom, throw some water on my face. I turned the water on. It doesn't go on. So what the heck's going on? So I go into the kitchen, nothing. And I go back to the water heater I'm looking at, and I scream, ah! Pat said, you all right? I said, I think so. Now open the door, I'm looking around. There's this little box with a red light on it. Does anybody know? You know what I'm talking about. I said, why is this red light? That usually means there's water leaking somewhere, and it turns off automatically. So I'm pulling stuff out. I can't find any leaks. So I went back in there. I said, remember the guy was in here. He's turning. He's just pushing one button. Let me push this other button. I hear this. What was that noise? Go to the bathroom. Guess what? The water was working again. Yeah, it went off and was back on like it never went off. So it's a switch that, at least at the homes, in case there's a hurricane, I don't know what the deal is, but if water is leaking from under your, I found out your sink, if you have an ice machine in your refrigerator, in any laundry room, bathroom, anywhere water is flowing through pipes, if it's leaking anywhere, like a pipe blew, it automatically shuts the whole system down so you don't flood the place. So it's a good safety device. I was caught off guard. And I screamed at the wall. I started laughing after I shouldn't have done that. Don't matter what I should have, I did it. All right. Lord, you know. This is what we're like. This is the flesh. It never changes. It can make it worse, because if you sow to the flesh, you reap from the flesh, and you always reap more than you sow. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. So what do I do with this harvest? Lord, give it to you. I'll have it. I'll take care of it. Let's go. Let's keep moving. Come on. Let's keep walking. He got the land. Let me read this to you. Caleb concluded his speech to Joshua with an astounding request at age 85, when he might have asked for a quiet place to spend his last days raising some vegetables or flowers. And listen, he instead requested that he be given the same section of land that had struck fear into the hearts of the 10 spies. You know what it was? For us, it would be gospel of God's grace, speaking that to unsaved people and even religious people we know as friends. Who wants to hear that you're a sinner on your way to hell? But God has, I'm a what? You're a sinner on your way to hell. And in case you're thinking of some good religious ritual or work you could do to fix it, you're so bad off, there's nothing good you can do to fix the problem. You are lost, hopelessly lost, under condemnation, on your way to judgment. Your days are numbered. Can I tell you more? What was that? I got, we should go door to door. I got 14 roasts in the oven. Sorry, I'd love to talk more about it. They back off, boom, door closes. We had that happen in our hometown. I don't think anybody wants to hear that part. What good thing, they said. Remember the rich young ruler? What good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? You say, good master, what good thing must I do? Did you call me good? Remember that? Did you call me good? Yeah. Then only God is good. So you must be calling me God, right? Because only God is good. There's no good thing anybody could do to take care of the problem. We're beyond, we're hopeless and helpless. As unbelievers are hopeless and helpless. We have hope, the living hope, and we have a helper, the Holy Spirit, he said in John 16. We can live a life that God asks us to live, but we must first deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow him. How do I pick up the cross? It's already taken care of the problem with Romans chapter 6. I've been crucified with him. It's understanding my place, my position before God. Look what Joshua's asking for. Let me read the rest of this. Was the inheritance he desired and fulfillment of God's earlier promise, though most older people are more apt to talk about old conflicts than to take on new ones, Caleb was ready for one more good battle. He was eager to fight the Anakites at Hebron and take that city for his possession. Caleb chose a large and foreboding task, not that he was filled with pride in his own ability. Rather, he believed God would be with him. Caleb had faith in the presence of God. He took Hebron. Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb. Finally, he said that. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The spies visited Hebron and near there cut the cluster of grapes. Caleb drove out from Hebron the three sons of Anak of the cities of Judah and became the city of refuge. Now they're done with that, but I just want to read a few things about Paul. We're done. Read about the Apostle Paul, the old warrior who walked by faith. Here's a mature Christian who'd been around for a period of time, obviously. I have down here, I think he died at around 68 years old. So Paul, it appears, got saved on the road to Damascus at 34 years of old, 4 years of age. So he probably served and ministered for 34 years. Before he was executed. I'm going to read a few verses just that he says about his journey with the Lord. All right, ready? 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which is bestowed upon me, was not in vain, because I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was in me. 1 Timothy 1:18. This command I entrusted to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight of faith. 1 Corinthians 16:13, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. 2 Timothy 2:1, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I cannot be strong in grace until I'm weak in myself. The only way I can be weak in myself is to be honest in the presence of the Lord. I'm a failure. I cannot live the Christian life apart from God's grace. I cannot access his grace. It's non-meritorious. I can't do anything to gain it. All I can do is confess I need it. I cannot survive without it. I can't serve without it. So I'm pathetically lost, miserable heap of nothingness. Apart from God's grace saved me. It took me into the third heaven and made me a child of God, baptized me into the body of Christ. That's who I am in him, but in the flesh, nothing. We're not in the flesh positionally, but we can walk in the flesh. And when I walk in the flesh, it's like, just like an unbeliever doesn't know Christ. Miserable, and we can actually have fellowship with them in the darkness. Paul said this, Ephesians 6:10-11, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He's talking military talk. Don't let the enemy take any territory. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Peter put it this way, chapter 1:13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hope unto the end, joyful anticipation and service. To mean gird up the loins of your mind is a metaphor. It means prepare your minds for action. Be disciplined in your thinking. A figure of speech, literally, gird up the loins of your mind, is based on the gathering and fashioning up of the long Eastern garments so that they would not interfere with the individual's activity. That's what we're supposed to do with our, gird up the loins of your mind. means you're thinking clearly. You're in the book and you're thinking clearly. What happened to the, I was with you like a nursing mother, the Thessalonians? That's still there? Yeah, for baby Christians. For those who are growing up that need the exhortation. I have more stuff, but I can't read it all. So I'll read this part and we'll quit. Ready? Paul did say, Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, 68 years old. Paul the aged. And back in that day, to live to be 68 was a long life. I want to read the I ams of Paul. Okay, you ready? There's seven of them. I'll just read them. O wretched man that I am, 7:24 in Romans, who am less than the least of all saints, Ephesians 3:8, for I am the least of the apostles. Dang, Paul, you have to. I'm least of the apostles, 1 Corinthians 12:10. I am weak. How about this? Though I be nothing, 2 Corinthians 12:11. I'm a sinner of whom I am chief. Chief sinner, less than the, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Man, I'm going to put that on my resume. What's your strengths? I don't have any. Are you a good person? No, I'm wretched. Are you the great apostle? I'm the least of all apostles. Are you somebody? No, I'm nobody. Are you strong? No, I'm weak. But here's the spiritual qualifications to enter God's army. I'll just end with that. Ready? 1 Corinthians 1:27-29, he said, you've got to be foolish enough to depend on him for wisdom, weak enough to be empowered with his strength, base enough to have no honor but God's honor, despised enough to be kept in the dust of his feet, and nothing enough for God to be everything. That makes you a warrior. Signs of a mature believer, and you can put it at the end of humility. How do you tick off a humble person? You can't. You could call them anything you want, this whole list. Guess what? Tell me something I don't know. Tell me something new. I know what I am, apart from him. With him, we don't even have any idea what we're going to be like compared. We've got a few little tidbits here and there. That's all the result of his grace. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you that you have given us these individuals that we could look at, see as they continue to endure hardness as good soldiers. And they did that trusting in you, relying upon you, empowered by you, because they loved you, they served you, and they found out that you're greater than any weakness that we have. You are our strength. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you. We have eternal life. It's a free gift, not contingent on our service to you, but on the finished work of your Son on our behalf. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen.